Man, I am so excited to continue on tonight with what we've been talking about, the year of transformation. And from the comments we heard, I think a good foundation has been laid for what we're talking about. But this is a Bible study night, and I love that because I really did want to deal with some definitions. So for those of you that haven't realized that we started yet, let me go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for tonight, and we thank you for the opportunity to share your word and to receive of you. We ask you to open our heart, oh God. Open our hearts tonight. Open our ears. Open our eyes, Lord. Let all of our gates be open to you. That you, any way you want to get in there, Lord God, any way you want to engage us, we're open. And we want to receive, we want to soak up what you're pouring out, Lord, like a sponge. Just fill us up, Lord God. We present ourselves to you tonight as an empty vessel. And we say, God, fill us up. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us up. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you and we receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to start by saying that transformation, that word, it's important that we understand some of the nuances of that word because it's really a war going on around the whole dynamic and conversation of transformation, and we'll try to get into that some. But I challenged us on Sunday, the Lord did, to challenge us to look at this thing prophetically and not just hear a theme for the year for the church, but what might the Lord be saying to us individually when he says, this is the year of transformation. And when we say the year of, that puts it in a time frame. I think, I don't know about you, but I have an expectancy. You know, there's something God wants to do and will do. I want to align myself because it's not delayed any longer. This is the year. This is the year. And that's why I wanted to share the testimony that we had Sunday from Ayana. I thought that was beautiful. And that's just one area because I don't want you to get confused and say, oh, so you're talking about, you know, like changes in jobs and careers. Remember we talked about whenever God speaks, it's always multidimensional. Man, you don't know what he's going after. I heard so many things from Humphrey and from Comas and Andrea that I want to respond to, but I looked at the time. I said, if I get caught up in responding to what they're saying, I'm going to lose all my time, so I won't do it. But throughout the message, I may get a chance to refer back to some of those things. And so we want to be at a place that we are in position for what God is doing now. So this alignment is important. Alignment, that happens from in here, in our heart first. And it's a conscious decision that's made. You don't just sort of slip into it. You know, we have to change some things sometimes. Amen. Amen. Okay. I have to retrain y'all every time I come. It's all right, though. So let's look at that word. The root word of transformation is the word form. Form. And what form means, it's not very difficult, but just for the sake of a conversation. To form means to create. It means to give life to something. To give shape to it. To give structure. That's what it means to form. And when I hear those definitions, I think about that whole image of the potter and the clay. You know, that potter has some idea of what this thing is supposed to look like. So he shapes it and works it until he gets it to look just like he wants that vessel to look. But that's what forming has to do, to create, to shape, to mold. But then we add to that word the prefix, trans. Trans. And what does trans mean? Trans is has to do with across or beyond, through. It has the idea of on the other side of, or to go beyond. It's a movement word, you know? And we see that also in words like transportation, you know, transconfiguration. Something's changing, okay? There's some movement, and it's going across. It's going beyond. So we think about that. But then there's another prefix that we use with this word form a lot, and the word is con. Con, as in conform. And what con means is together. Together with. When you conform, you come together. Okay? It's a coming together. So they both have to do with some shaping. That's that form. That's that formation. But one has to do with movement, going across, going beyond. And the other one has to do with being brought together with. Okay? So when we look at the word transformation by way of definition, what we want to keep our mind on is it's a change of the form. It's a change. That's important because when we think about us, think about our lives and who we are, we talked about it. So I don't want to go back. Remember, I talked about how the scripture, even the one that Andrea just quoted, about what manner of love is this that's bestowed upon us. And he says in that scripture, said that now we are the children of God. That's what we are. But then transformation has to do with taking us from that place or that identity that we are or that space we're filling to a whole nother one that we don't know where that is, but we get moved. That's what transformation is. It's a changing of the form. And it's not to say that the form is bad or it's wrong. God didn't make a mistake. He just ain't finished with you yet. That's a shouting spot for me. Y'all, I praise God for y'all strong self-esteem. But for most of my life, I felt that there was some mistake involved with this being. You know, some of you have heard my story, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but just, you know, growing up, not knowing who my father was, being the only son of my mom, no brothers, nobody identified with like that. And then my mom lived in a whole nother state and left me with my grandparents. You know, just felt unwanted. Something wasn't right. You know, when you're a kid, you don't know how to explain all that. You act out. You know, you take other kids' toys because you're trying to show that I do matter, you know. You get the biggest piece of, you know, candy when they pass it out. You get to the front of the line. You push other people. You do all kind of stuff to try to add value to yourself because you're trying to figure it out. And, you know, and then later on when I realized that I was born before my mother, well, I was conceived before my mother married this man last name Johnson, that's when the devil really started working with me, saying, you really were a mistake. You know, nobody really was looking for you. You wasn't celebrating. They wasn't painting no room and putting up baby furniture, you know, and decorating the wall. Oh, our baby's going to be here. It wasn't that kind of arrival. It was, oh, Lord. In fact, that's why your mom had to leave and go to New York, because you see where we came from. You couldn't be Deacon Richard Lawrence's son or daughter, should I say, and be pregnant and not be married. You know, it's not like it is today. They do baby showers in the lunchroom at high school. But back in those days, they sent you away oftentimes, usually a relative in a whole other state. You know, and being on the east coast of Georgia, east coast of the United States, if you leave South Georgia, getting to New York is about as far as you can go and still be in the country. So that's what happened with my mom, and that's where I was. So all that stuff, you know, and it took the Lord to help me to see that that may have been your story, how you got here, but I formed you. Even in your mother's womb, and I formed you. In fact, I ordained you and set you apart for a work before you took a breath. So, yeah, you were formed, but now here comes some transforming. I'm doing a work to move you, because if I leave you right here, the weight of all that you try to interpret would keep you from, you can't function. See, the transformation, Listen, yes, it's to bring God glory, but it also delivers us. It brings us out of the encasement or the, I want to say the pit, because that's how I feel about it. The whatever that hole we're in, transformation brings us out. And it's not just a salvation. Remember, here's that multidimensional effect again. See, there's levels of this thing. At whatever level of revelation you're living in now and what you know about God, know about yourself, it's still a need to be transformed to another level. That's that glory to glory to go. We don't stop. So that's why one of the tricks of the enemy is that, you know, he tries all he can to keep you from being saved. But if he fails on that end and you get saved, then the next strategy is, well, let's keep them satisfied. So they won't go to the, they'll settle right there. There's so much more God wants to do in you and through you, but it requires a continual transformation. Transformation, and I think Andrea was saying this, it's a process. It's not an experience. You don't get this one exposure to God, go, whoo, I've been transformed. Hallelujah. It's not over. God still wants to do more. And I pray that even as I say that, that it's not, you know, it's not just, yeah, that's a good word, yeah. I pray that it stirs something in you to say, well, God, what? I thought I had found it. But could there be more that you apprehended me for? Maybe I hadn't really laid hold of that which is laid hold of me. In other words, our grip can get tighter. We can get more. We can latch on more and experience some things that we haven't. And it's not, I find myself checking my words because in 2023, things mean so many different things. And you don't never know how people hear what you're saying. But I hope y'all understand, I'm not talking about being a spiritual experience junkie looking for the next high. That's not what I'm talking about. Well, I got to get something else. I want to experience something else in God. Because those kind of folks, that's what gets you running from church to church. Well, I hear they laughing over here, I'm going to run over here. Oh, that they laying hands over here. Oh, over here they getting cars. Over here they prophesying it. We keep running, trying to get everything. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about pressing in to the more of what God wants to do with your life. Because that is the only thing that satisfies us. We're not satisfied in our soul if we're not fully embracing God's will and God's purpose for us at any given point in our walk. And we have to be careful because usually we don't recognize that dissatisfaction comes out in other ways. It comes out in behaviors, new habits, sometimes new friends. We just start doing some different things because something in us is not complete. Remember that word. Put a finger on that one because we're coming back to that. We don't feel complete. So we start doing some different things. And so we recognize that sometimes, many times the Spirit of the Lord would say, why are you picking that up? Or why are you doing that? And we'll realize that. Then we go, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. That self-talk thing. And before you know, we done talked ourselves into believing that it's okay. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff that it ain't no scripture that says, thou shalt not watch Channel 8 at 10 o'clock on Tuesday nights. But if the Holy Ghost tell you to stay away from that program, guess what you need to do? Hallelujah. Okay. So now, understand those definitions of con and trans. Now let's go look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Here's what Paul says. He says, and do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, we see that those two together, conform and transform. And what he said, well, let me read in the Message first. Then I'll go into it a little bit more. In the Message Bible, he says it like this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Man, this thing is so packed. It's so packed. But I just want to point out one section in particular. We're looking at that conform and transform. So in the middle of that whole little paragraph I read there, it says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you just fit into it. That's what conforming is. When we conform to this world, we just adjust and fit in. There's so much going on around us that it becomes almost like you're trying to pull somebody uphill to stand for something else. And we start accepting it. And that acceptance starts to happen inside of us first because it changes us is on the level of our values, on the levels of our values and our morals. That's the area where it changes. It's that area it's that center of decision because it's our values and our beliefs that sort of give way to our behavior, right? We act the way we act because of what we believe. We do the actions. We do what we do because of what we value. And so what this work of conforming is a pressure, really, to get us to just accept what we see as common around us. And that's one of the ways that the enemy does it. He makes it so much of it that it's no shocking anymore. You know, except the Holy Ghost. But I don't know about you, man. There's some stuff going on now that every time I see it, I just shake my head and go, oh, God. Like the way in the commercials now, how they like to have men kissing. A few years ago, we'd have been so shocked. But it's become so common now that even if we don't like it, in fact, you could just about tell it when it's going to happen. Oh, this is going to turn my head. I don't even want to see it. I'm going to change the channel. And then they showing, y'all, hope y'all, I'm going to get comfortable. I'm going to take off this jacket because I'm getting hot over here. And I hate this. I don't even know what the commercial is about. But it shows this one guy coming down the steps at a train station. And another guy standing out there on the platform waiting on the train. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And then the guy waiting, he turns around. He looks and they see each other. I said, why y'all doing that? I know why they're doing that. I said, but now, see, who I'm scared for is my grandchildren. I got 4 little grand boys. And they seen that kind of stuff. So now every time somebody look at them, maybe with just some innocent admiration, I like your shoes. Or I like the way your whatever. They're going to be interpreting that now through a different set of a different lens because the value around them has pressed us so much that we just sort of adapt to it as common. Just because it's common don't mean it's normal. Can I say that again? Just because it's common and it's a lot of it, that don't make it right. There's a lot of sin out here. That is a lot of it. But God ain't changed his mind about stuff. But we have to be careful. Here, listen, this is the fight that we're in. We have to be careful because the world, it's a constant pressure. Every day when you go to bed, every night. In fact, my son is staying with us right now as he's recovering. And a couple nights I walk through there and the TV is on. And I know that he has it on so that he can have some light if he have to handle anything in the middle of the night. But I said, I don't want the messages on that channel getting his spirit all night long. So I changed the channel. He woke up one morning. He said, "Woo, man, I done had a real." Here, when I said, "Why?" He said, "I woke up to Bishop Jake screaming at me." I said, "Really?" Like I didn't know. I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, man." He was talking about, he just started telling me the whole message. I just sat there and listened. I said, "Thank you, Jesus." You know? Because, you know, something as innocent as I need a little light in case I have to maneuver and get out and go to the restroom or whatever, you know, and I kept my TV on. That might be an innocent reasoning, but look how the enemy would try to, that's the pressure. So I'm going to make sure that last thing you watch before you go to sleep at 12:30, that I already got something planned to come on at 2 a.m. And you're going to lay there for another hour and a half, 2 hours, with all of this mess getting spoken into your spirit. I changed the channel. Spit TD. Thank God for it, man. So then the next line after says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Watch this. He said, but instead, fix your attention on God. Now that's that attention part I was talking about. See, this is what Paul is telling us. It's not enough just to say, well, I'm not going to follow the word. We got, either you are being conformed or you're being transformed. There's no in between. You hear what I'm saying? We're being conformed to this world if we take a little of this, take a little of that, and bring mixture in our life. But even if we say, well, I'm not doing that, but we take a neutral spot, a neutral stand on the things of God, then the pressure and the weight of conforming around us moves us towards that world. Those values get integrated and we don't even realize it. So what Paul says is, listen, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, move towards transformation, that place where we surrender to God and allow him to do in us what we can't do to and for ourselves. He says, fix your attention on God. Now, here's some differences between confirmation and transformation. Confirmation and transformation, both of them require change. That's that root word form. Both of them require some change. Both of them require submission, either to the pressure of the world to adjust us or submitting to the work and the power of the Holy Spirit to make us or form us or to transform us, right? Both of them require someone or something else as a standard of measure. So the conforming to the world becomes that standard that we have to measure to say, am I okay? Oh, man. How much has that affected us in just so many things? I had somebody call me Sunday and said, you know, one of the things about your message that really challenged me is when you said God ain't that committed to the success of my career. Because I really believe that, you know, he said, but when I think about it, you might be right. I said, yeah, that's a bittersweet pill to swallow. Because we think that God is on the side of those values where we say, you know, we want the good life, the American dream. We get a good job, have a good salary, have a nice house, have cars, a yard, a dog. You know, and if you don't have that, somewhere on the inside, you don't feel like you made it. You don't feel complete. We feel like something's lacking, something's missing in my life. Why me, Lord? Why me? Now, you know, we're looking at ways to get it. Look at the behavior, boy. We'll go marry somebody. We'll do something to increase our economic stand so that we can measure up to that standard. That's the world pushing us into that mold, you know. And, of course, with transformation, that standard is Jesus himself. It's Jesus himself. So when we're conformed to the world, we are allowing the world to change us to be the standard against which we measure our life. So conform means to press in from the outside, and transform means change from the inside out. Conforming is the pressure coming from the outside. That's why it's so important to pay attention to how we think, You know, what we engage in, what kind of messages we receive, what we listen to, all those gates, the ear gate, the eye gate, that's important because that pressure is coming from the outside in. But the transformation is coming from the inside out. Okay? And the last half of that verse says, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And let me start here by saying that he is not saying that God's got three different wills. A good will, an acceptable will, and the perfect. I say that because I know that mindset. I may have embraced that a little bit myself in my some early years. I said, well, this ain't perfect, but I believe it's acceptable. God knows my heart. I tried to justify doing a lot of things. You know, well, at least I'm good. But let's talk about that. He's not saying it's three different wills. It's the will of God, the will of God. First of all, he says, we prove that that is good. What are we talking about? What Paul is saying is that, listen, if you have good acts, or good acts are the will of God. But here's the balance to that. The will of God is always good. But every good thing is not necessarily his will. There are a lot of people who do good acts, do humanitarian things, and they're not serving God. But their actions are good. So we can't let that be the standard. That's not what we're trying to prove. You know, you can't do good. You don't feel good about yourself, so you go do something good for somebody else. That's not righteousness. But that's the world's way. We throw a little, like we talk about, we sing the songs about put a little, got to put a praise on it. What they do, they put a little money on it. You live any kind of way, but long as I put a little money, shoot a little bit over to Hosea Helps. You know, nothing wrong with Hosea Helps. I'm just saying, some people give, they do philanthropic things to ease their conscience. But that's the world's way, and we got to be careful as the church because we'll find ourselves living compromised lives, but as long as we give a good offering, you know, I feel better, but, you know, I help buy the new air condition. You know, I help put in the, that's that creep in. That's that adjusting. And listen, it can take over an entire congregation. It's a subtle influence in the pressure. That's why being a connection group is a safe place. Because preferably some of that stuff will get exposed when we're talking about how we feel about stuff and why we're doing what we're doing, you know. That the will of God is acceptable. Acceptable. Now, what he's talking about here, even in the first verse, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Yes, yes, holy and acceptable. Holy and acceptable. That word acceptable in the Greek is a word, euriston, is euriston. And what that has to do with being well-pleasing. It's something that's well-pleasing to the Lord. So, watch this. Good will, good acts, as long as it's well-pleasing to God. You see how the will of God is good, doing good things, as long as it's well-pleasing to God. So who defines what good is? God does. It's not what other people say will be good, but if the Lord is saying that this is good, you know, that's why, look, you don't have to feel guilty or oppressed that every time somebody stops you going into Quick Trip and asks you for $3 or some money, that you have to give it to them because, you know, I just, you know, especially when you got a little compromise in your life, you really feel like I need to do something. See, that's the world's way of thinking. But if the Lord put it in your heart to give, it's good now. It's good. It's good. If it's well-pleasing to him. I like that word. We also see that word used in Hebrews 13, verse 20, where it says, now may the God of peace who brought you brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Watch this. Make you complete in every work. That word complete is the word teleion, T-E-L-E-I-O-N. That's the same word for perfect. So when we're talking about the will of God being good, acceptable, and perfect, the perfect is talking about is being complete. Okay? He said, complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. There's acceptable. So those are really qualifiers. The will of God is good as long as it's well-pleasing to God and it completes what he's intended. That's how we measure it. He says, so that's what we want to prove, okay? That's what we want to prove, the will of God. And I love of this, what he's doing is defining good in relation to what God desires, okay? Oh, man, let's wrap this up. I'm going to wrap it up right here. Transformation. We're trying to understand it better and get greater revelation of transformation so that we can be transformed into what God intends for us and prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will. And one of the best pictures, not the best, but one of the best pictures I know of transformation is actually the life cycle of the butterfly. Consider, you know, the egg is laid and then comes the caterpillar, right? And the caterpillar, his whole job is just eat. He eat the plant he own, he eat the leaves, he just eat. But then it goes into this other thing that we call a cocoon, right? And it can be there for a couple of weeks, depending on the species of butterfly. Some of them can stay there much longer than that. But then at the appointed time, something happens. What happens? While he's in that cocoon, that those same organs that the caterpillar have are being changed now. And now those little short legs, something's happening where some longer legs grow, some wings develop, and all the mechanisms needed to fly. And then at the appointed time, that butterfly breaks through the cocoon, but it's not a big old cut it open and ease out. It's a small hole that he got to squeeze and struggle through because that process is necessary to get the fluid out of his wings so that it can fly. I learned that from Opie Taylor because he tried to help a butterfly one time. And when he cut the cocoon open, the thing couldn't fly because his wings was too heavy. And so now he put him at risk to die. He thought he was helping. Boy, I want y'all to hear me. This is the word of God according to Opie. You can't help. God's process of transformation in somebody's life is his process. And it may take much longer in some than it takes in others. It may be more painful for you than somebody else. You can't look at somebody else and compare. God knows what it takes to get you to the point that you can stop crawling around and soar. He wants us to be able to take off and fly. Beautiful wings, fulfilling his purpose. But what it takes to get us there is a process. You can't cut it short. You can't speed it up. Taking some tools with you to help cut your way out the cocoon. Some of y'all are in a cocoon now. Could you would cut that thing open and get out? It's too much, you know. But listen, stay faithful. Trust God. If we have any example, look at Jesus. He was 33 when he gave up his life. But he was 30 when he started his ministry. So for 30 years, he was in a cocoon. And when you're in a cocoon, nobody sees you. You're hidden. When we talked about that Sunday, see, a lot of the work that God is doing in you is hidden. You know what? It's so personal. It's the stuff that he speaks to you in the morning when you get up or while you're going to work. And then the question is, how are you going to respond to it? Do I hear what he's saying? Do I obey? Do I repent for that? Do I change what I'm doing? Or do I act like I don't hear and keep on going? You're in the cocoon. how we handle those times will really determine how much time we have to spend in that hidden place. But whatever you do, Isaac, don't get up off that altar. Stay there. Let's continue to behold the glory of God and let him do that change in us. And here's our faith. We trust him. And I don't know about you. I'm getting to the place now that if breaking out and flying means I left this life and now I'm flying in heaven, I win. I probably didn't say that the right way. In other words, there's no failure, y'all. Listen, the enemy is the one that puts that whole thing on us about success and failure. In that sense, listen, you can't fail as a Christian. We've already won. We gave our life to him. So we've already won. The outcome is going to be glorious for him. So we don't have to try to be. When you're a caterpillar, you ain't got to go to no butterfly classes. You ain't got to sit on the ground and look at the butterflies and wish that hope. Maybe one day your time going to come. Maybe you don't supposed to fly that way. Maybe you're going to fly this way. I don't know. But we don't have to try so hard. We put so much pressure on ourselves because of that's the conformity. That's that world's way. Listen, it's not a negligent thing to let go and let God. It's really a faith walk to say, Lord, my life is in your hands. So what do I do? Every good thing I find my hands to do, I do. Put myself in it and praying through, Lord, is this acceptable to you? Is this perfect? Is this that completing work? And do it. But if we're not putting our hands to what's good, then whether we're trying to or not, we're being conformed. Now, all this I'm saying in the context of a transformation conversation. But this is not new. What we're really talking about is the difference between carnality and being led by the Spirit. But you can't have a mix. You can't be Spirit-led in some areas and then carnal in other areas of your life. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. As a church, we hold ourselves back because we think we can manage a little bit of carnality. No. Listen, you can't be casual at the cross. How you going to stay at the foot of the cross where Jesus is stretched out, dying for our sin, and we casual? He says, no, let me tell you. Here's what real love is. You stand at the cross. If it's bothering you, cut off your hand. You want to know how radical this life has to be? That if your hands offend you, God says, cut them off. It ain't worth it. You don't need a hand that bad. If it's going to keep you out of heaven, you don't have hands to go to hell, or you'll be handless and make it in. We got to see this thing from the way God sees. This is a radical move. Transformation is radical. It takes a lot of faith, commitment, and trust in God to stay in that place, beholding him, and allow him to do that work on us. And he's saying that this year, there's going to be some change. There's going to be some change. So I guess the question is, who's hungry for it? Who wants it? Who wants to see the Lord? Who wants to walk in what God has for them? And I'm not talking about new assignments and new this and new anointing, even though it may include that. I don't know. We don't know. It's hidden. But it has to do with our attitude and our heart towards God. Amen? Amen. So I got some the rest of this is we'll talk about some considerations for transformation. This is some good stuff. But you're going to have to come to the class to get that. Amen. Elder Gale said we're getting ready to start some class on transformation. So I don't know how many, when, and where, but it's sitting on the stove. It's simmering. It's staying warm. It's cooking. And when the right time comes, we're going to open that pot, and we're going to serve. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Praise.